Last week, we began basically a tutorial, for lack of a better way of explaining it, on how to study the Bible. And I know for some of us, that's kind of like going back to the basics, but it's good to go back to the basics every now and then. And not only that, not all of us, even if we've been walking with the Lord for a good number of years, not all of us truly know how to get things out of God's word when we read. So we still have a tendency to just kind of read as though we're looking at one of Trump's Twitter messages or something. But last week, we achieved quite a few things with our tutorial. We learned that it's very, very important for us to read our Bibles on a regular basis. So then we also decided that a reading plan would help us develop that good habit of reading the Bible every day. Along the way, we realized that we didn't want a reading plan that's going to be too aggressive. Because if we take on more than we can handle, we might get discouraged and try to give up. This is my thinking on that. If someone puts in front of me a huge slab of prime rib, I'm going to eat it, right? I may not eat it in just one or two bites. I'll probably cut it into small chunks, and it might take me a little bit longer to eat it than it takes Pastor Mark, but I'm going to eat it, okay? So that's the philosophy. We want to be able to take in God's word at a pace that's comfortable for each of us. We also agreed that our reading plan has to be simple and it has to be flexible. It has to allow us to grow in God's word at the pace that He desires us to grow. Our plan should not make us focus on reading a certain number of verses or chapters every day. Instead, it should draw us deeper and help us to get much more out of what we were reading. As a matter of fact, we want to try to get as much out of what we read as possible. And we talked about some of the various reading plans because there are a lot of reading plans out there to choose from. But the one we decided to use as an example to illustrate our goals is the Proverb a Day plan. Now, when we say Proverbs a Day, we're not saying that we absolutely must read an entire chapter every day. Remember, we want to have some flexibility and we don't want to be legalistic about this. So what our plan really involves is essentially just using the calendar, finding out what today's date is, and saying, I'm going to go to that chapter today in Proverbs, and that's going to be my entry point into God's word on whatever day that happens to be. So for example, today is the 10th. So guess where we're about to open our Bibles to? Proverbs chapter 10. And by asking a series of questions while we read, we're again going to allow the Spirit of God to draw us deeper into His word so that we can find some answers. Now, do you also remember that last week I hinted that we can repeat this Proverbs plan every month? I basically said that if you do this, you can read Proverbs 12 times in a year, right? Well, I thought it was really nice that someone came up after service and said, if I'm reading Proverbs 12 times in a year, when do I ever get to read the rest of the Bible? That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question because we not only want to receive more of the scripture, but we also want to find Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I have yet to see the name Jesus in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so as part two of our tutorial tonight, I hope to answer those questions by offering yet another example of how we might be able to get the most out of our time spent in God's word. Now, we always want to begin our Bible study with prayer. So at this point, we'll do just that. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you have preserved your word throughout countless days, throughout centuries, throughout millennia, dear Lord. We know the enemy has done many things to try to keep your word from existing. But yet you prevail, dear God, because you are always victorious. And you give us the ability to hold in our hands your written word, that we can thumb through it, we can read it, we can take it in, we can meditate on it. Lord, would you help us to do just that this evening? And Father, help our time with you this evening to be fruitful. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to respond to your voice. Help us to have an aha moment as we go through your word together tonight. So bless us, Father, for your own name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we begin in chapter 10 of Proverbs, place a bookmark in 1 Kings chapter 3. And then after you put your bookmark there, we're going to begin in chapter 10. So again, you want a bookmark in 1 Kings chapter 3. So the chapter that we're going to look at tonight in Proverbs, it begins the second main section of the book of Proverbs. Now, in the first 9 chapters, the foundation of wisdom was established. In that first section, the attributes and benefits of wisdom were explained. Solomon teaches that wisdom is something to be desired, sought after, and treasured. Also, to capture the heart and imagination of his young son and help his young son understand the importance of pursuing wisdom, Solomon also personified wisdom as a lovely woman. This second section of Proverbs, which starts here in chapter 10 and continues through chapter 22, this section contains the types of Proverbs that you're probably more familiar with. Many of the verses are independent thoughts. They don't always seem to contextually rely upon one another, and they also don't always seem to build upon one another, like to form a story or anything like that. So because of that, some people have a little difficulty trying to get some meaning out of Proverbs. But regardless, these verses in Proverbs usually show what it is we can generally expect in everyday situations based on whether we live our lives wisely or foolishly. So again, before we begin, let's just remind ourselves of the 3 main questions that we'll ask while we read. Can anyone remember the first 3 questions that we mentioned last week that we want to approach our scripture reading with? The first question that we ask ourselves is, what does this verse or passage say? Then the second question is, what does this verse or passage mean? And then the third question that we ask ourselves is, how can I apply this verse or passage to my daily life? With God's direction, these questions will lead us to ask a series of other questions, which he will then use to draw us deeper and lead us to places in the scripture which contain the answers that we need. So our first verse right here in Proverbs chapter 10, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon. I'm already hitting the brakes because I find myself already wanting to ask 2 questions at this point. First, it says, the proverb. I want to know, what is a proverb? The second question that pops up for me is, who is Solomon? Well, that first question is easy enough to answer. I just grab a dictionary and I look up the word proverb, and I quickly learn that it's a saying which reveals ethical wisdom and knowledge of common facts. All right, now I get it. That explains why this book places so much emphasis on wisdom, and why a lot of it here just seems like it ought to be common sense. Like when you're reading through Proverbs, a lot of times it's kind of like, duh, everyone should know this, right? Common facts, common knowledge. I'm cool with that. But the next question that I had is, who is Solomon? That's going to lead us down a different road. So here's where I have to again ask you to deal patiently with me on this. So keep your place here in Proverbs, chapter 10, that is. Keep your place here and turn to Proverbs chapter 1, just a few pages to the left. Now, I'm asking, who is Solomon? And chapter 1, verse 1, we learn exactly who he is. We learn that Solomon was the king of Israel and that David was his dad. All right, that was easy, right? But my eyes couldn't avoid looking at the next several verses, which go on to say in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Okay, so when I first found out who Solomon was in verse 1, I was cool with that, but then I had to go and be nosy, and I read all of this, and now he sounds just a little too eager to me. He sounds like a scammer trying to get my credit card number. How can I know this guy is legit? What qualifies Solomon to try to teach me about wisdom? So now I want to research this guy, and I want to find out if he knows what he's talking about. Before I give my money to that real estate program huckster on TV, I want to know if he is really investing in real estate, right? So does Solomon know what he's talking about? So this is where we're going to jump to the bookmark we have in chapter 3 of Kings, 1 Kings. So while you're flipping over there, let me give you a little background. In the first couple chapters of the book of Kings, 1 Kings, Solomon's dad, King David, died, and the kingdom was given to Solomon, who quickly drained the swamp by actually getting rid of the corporate government officials who betrayed David during his reign. And then beginning here in chapter 3 at our bookmark, we read in verse 3 that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So as you can see, there's a lot in here. I mean, literally, we could do several dozen individual Bible studies just off of these verses alone. But we have to be careful not to drift. We don't want to let ourselves go down a rabbit hole, as the expression goes. Remember, our reason for turning here was to find out if Solomon is qualified to teach us about wisdom. And the next two verses answer that for us. Look at verse 11. "Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you.'" So it turns out, after a little research, just simply asking God that question, who is Solomon? What qualifies him to talk to me about wisdom? God directed us to Scripture and says, I qualify him to talk about wisdom. So Solomon is eminently qualified to teach us about wisdom. Again, because God freely gave Solomon a measure of wisdom that was far beyond that of any other man had previously had. And apart from Jesus, no other man on the face of the earth ever will be found to be wiser than Solomon. I'm cool with that. Now I know he's not a huckster out to get my credit card number. So before we continue back in chapter 10, let's be sure we don't miss what just happened here. First, we sat down with the intent to read God's word. We didn't approach our reading plan by saying, I'm going to read this entire chapter today. Instead, we said, I'm going to read God's word because I desire to hear from him today. And the reason we turn to Proverbs chapter 10 is simply because we want to have a disciplined approach in reading God's word. So tomorrow, we'll turn to chapter 11 because that's, according to the Proverbs plan, that's going to be where we take our launching point once again. We're not going to just open the Bible and let it fall to some random page and then take a small object and drop it on the page to find out what verse we think God might want to talk to us through. Okay? God seldom wants to use randomness to talk to us. God is the God of order. So we want to have an ordered, disciplined approach to how we read. Now, the next thing we did was we inquired of the Lord while we were reading, and we followed his lead to the answers. In the process of revealing these answers to us, he fed us with even more scripture. You remember I told you last week someone approached me and said, if all I'm doing is reading Proverbs 12 times a year, when do I ever get to read anything else in the Bible? This is how. You're asking the Lord questions, and he's going to direct you to places in scripture that he wants you to know. He wants us to have this scripture in him, right? And he will build upon and increase our knowledge of what he gives to us. What we just did right now was we went into one of the historical books of the Old Testament and we added a nugget into our treasure trove of what we know. We didn't memorize anything from there, but that's okay. It's in us. It's absorbed in us. God will build upon that, and God will allow you to recall that when the time is necessary. If we sit with him every day and allow him to repeat this process over and over, we'll continue to discover glorious treasures throughout the entirety of his word. And the best part, we're going to enjoy doing it. Because we're not forcing ourselves, particularly on one of those kind of Bible plans that forces you to read some very difficult books. We're not forcing ourselves to try to choke it down. We get to take it in those smaller pieces, like I'm going to eat that prime rib I was telling you about. So again, let me restate. For the most part, this applies to pretty much any Bible reading plan, not just the Proverbs a day plan. The points here are that we are disciplined to continue the plan from whatever day that day's reading is scheduled to begin. So we did chapter 3 last week, and we made the presumption that you read up until today, and today is chapter 10, and then tomorrow you're going to pick up again in chapter 11. Read with the expectation that you will hear from God. Not with the expectation that you will finish X number of verses or X number of chapters. While you're reading, inquire of the Lord, particularly if you don't understand something. Or also, sometimes things will like leap off of the page at you and beg you to question it. And then after you've asked God the questions, follow his lead to the answers and be careful not to drift. Because what can happen is that passage that we just looked at, wow, there's so much in there. We could have drifted and started talking about the human frailty that we saw of Solomon as he went to worship in these places where common folk are worshiping, but yet isn't there supposed to be a tabernacle that you're worshiping at, and this and that, all kinds of things, right? But we wanted to remain focused. And as you're exploring these other sections of scripture, trust that in due time, the Lord Jesus Christ will build upon the scriptures that you encounter, and that he will increase your knowledge by his grace. So finally, now we can return to chapter 10 in Proverbs. Since our time tonight is rather limited, we're not going to examine each verse all the way through tonight. That's something that I would encourage you to do when you return home and have your quiet time with the Lord. But to continue our demonstration of how to effectively get more out of God's word, now let's talk about the importance of repetition in the Bible. Because looking for repetition is a very instrumental tool in getting more from God's word. So let's look at verses 2 and 3. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. So right away, just in these first two verses, it's very easy to see the words righteous and wicked are repeated. Not only here, but throughout this entire chapter. If we were to take the time to count how many times these words appear in this chapter, we would see that each word, wickedness or wicked or righteousness or righteous, each word appears 13 to 14 times across 15 different verses. That's fully half of this chapter. So chapter 10 wants to talk to us, I'm thinking, about wisdom. I'm thinking it wants to talk to us about righteousness. And I'm thinking it wants to talk to us about wickedness, right? Now here's the thing about repetition. Even in today's modern culture, repetition is popular. For example, if I were to just suddenly say, I'm loving it, or if I were to say, just do it, most of you would have an inkling of what I'm talking about. Hearing the same thing over and over helps us to remember, and it helps us to form associations in our mind. So that's how culture uses it. If culture uses it, God does not make mistakes. I did that. So God does not make mistakes. So if God is repeating something, he's obviously repeating it for a reason. And if we're correctly observing what the Bible says, and we find recurring themes, we have to admit to ourselves that God put those repetitions there for a reason. So here's a tip for us to consider when we find ourselves in a section of scripture that repeats itself. Because chapter 10, when you get home and you read it tonight, you're going to find that it repeats itself. So here's a tip. Don't skip over repetition. As we are submitting ourselves to God, we also have to submit to what he says to us through his word, even if we think we've heard it before. God probably has us in that particular section of the Bible because there might be lessons there that we still need to learn. So pray and ask God to connect these repeated lessons to the areas of your life that need to be corrected by him. So here in chapter 10, we see that there's a clear distinction between those who are righteous and those who are wicked. Let's just quickly do that same exercise we did a moment ago, just to connect some dots. Turn again to Proverbs chapter 1. This time I want us to look at chapter 1, verse 7. Many of you probably have this verse committed to memory. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And I'm thinking, seriously? Why would anyone despise wisdom? This makes me want to know what a fool is. And what is it about wisdom that results in fools hating it so much? So again, I'm trying to get some answers. What is it why would anyone possibly hate wisdom, right? But it specifically says a fool despises wisdom. So again, deal patiently with me on this. I'm not going to ask you to turn to all of these places. You can jot down some of these scriptural references. Psalm 14, verse 1, explains to us what a fool is. It tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, we're talking about repetition, so let me mention to you that this exact phrase is repeated word for word in Psalm 53, verse 1. So again, the Lord wants us to know and understand. So the Bible defines a fool as one who does not believe that a living God exists. That's one definition that we've gotten. The next question I wanted to do was I wanted to find out more about wisdom. So do you remember our memory verse? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. That revealed to us that Jesus became wisdom for us from God. Ah! Did you catch that? Jesus is wisdom. Not only that, but that same verse goes on to tell us that Jesus also is righteousness. Jesus is sanctification. Jesus is redemption. But only for those of us who believe that a living God does exist. You see, we don't say to ourselves, God does not exist. We don't say there is no God. We say God loves us and sent his son Jesus Christ to save us. So we've connected some dots. Now we can hear our loving Father in heaven saying this to us. Do we want to be righteous or do we want to be wicked? If you want to be righteous, we need Jesus. Do we want to be sanctified or cast aside? If you want to be sanctified, you need Jesus. Do you want to be redeemed or do you want to be rejected? If you want to be redeemed, you need Jesus. So those explosions you just heard, yeah, those were our brains. Because I'm hoping that it's starting to register with us. It's making sense now why Solomon is devoting so much time in telling his son and us to pursue wisdom. In Proverbs 4:7, again, you don't have to turn there, Solomon writes that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. He's telling us to get Jesus. And this is in the Old Testament. We set out to find Jesus. Many times you hear me say you can find Jesus in every page in the scripture. I hope you can see the connections now. He's telling us to pursue Jesus the same way that we would pursue a lovely woman, right? That's the reason that he, in the earlier Proverbs, personified wisdom as a woman. You see that woman and you crave her, you love her, you just know, I want to be with that woman. That's how it should be with Jesus. We just found Jesus in these pages. Now we should want nothing more than to have Jesus. So go pursue him. Run after him. In other places throughout the Proverbs, he even tells us to keep her as we grow older, for she is our life. You see, when we're young, it's important for us to get wisdom, to get Jesus. But as we grow older, it's equally important for us to keep wisdom, for us to keep Jesus. We don't want to end up trying to navigate this world alone. We'll fail. But now, I hope you're seeing that there's a way to find Jesus, even in passages that seem kind of difficult to digest at first or obscure because there's no obvious reference because you don't see the name Jesus, ask the Lord some questions. Let him direct you. Every one of your Bible studies should be fruitful. Every one of your Bible studies can be fruitful when you call upon the Lord. So our flexible Bible plan, our flexible Bible reading plan, combined with a simple ask and follow study technique, has already achieved everything that we hoped it would. It developed for us the fruitful and important habit of reading God's word every day. It encourages us to call upon the Lord and follow his lead to relevant parts of Scripture each and every day. It helps us to store Scripture in our hearts. It helps us to store Scripture in our minds each and every day. It helps us to believe that the Lord will increase our knowledge. It helps us to further our trust in him. And here's the thing. It helps us to see Jesus every day. This is a dark world. This is a violent world. This is a depraved world. Very easy for us to be distracted. If we can focus on Jesus, if we can set our hearts on finding Jesus, if we can open our ears to what he wants to say to us through his word, we'll be able to navigate these troubled waters. So another thing that I like about the reading plan that we're talking about is that it also helps us to look for ways to apply what we've learned to our daily lives. Okay? So we discovered the importance of wisdom. And by simply asking other questions about the difference between righteousness and wickedness, it circled back around. It pointed us to Jesus and told us, Jesus is wisdom. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is redemption. Jesus is sanctification. Jesus is. Now, how do we apply that? Well, by coming to faith. If you don't already know the Lord, invite him into your life. We say that, but the scripture tells us that we have to believe. That's what's involved. Just believe. That's how you receive eternal life. Now, you want to grow in that life because he gives you eternal life the moment you believe. But you still have a life here on earth until he calls you home to be with him. But he tells us in John chapter 10 that he wants us to have an abundant life. He came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. This is how you get that abundant life. Jesus is that abundant life. So focus your attention on him. Spend time at his feet. Spend time in his word. Talk to him. Don't just look at what you're seeing on the pages of the Bible and write it off as another social media post. This is God's email to you. It's a long email that repeats itself several times because it's that important. He doesn't want you to gloss over it. So I'm praying that in doing all of this, and I believe in doing all of this because I've seen it in my life, I've seen it in my wife's life, I've seen it in the lives of people here at this church. I believe that we do these things, that the Lord Jesus Christ will transform us and renew our minds just a little bit more every day. And isn't that what this is all about? Becoming a little bit more like Jesus Christ. So Lord, we do give thanks to you for your precious, precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you value your word even above your own name. We praise your name. We honor and glorify your name. How much more, Lord, your word. Feed us on your word. Help us to enjoy what we consume. Help us to grow on what we consume. And then, Father, by your spirit, bear fruit in our lives. Thank you for this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of light. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries
As I watch our worship team sing, I realize they love worshiping God. You can see it in Josh's face. You can see it in Selena's face and Peggy's face. Robert and Kevin, they're not just grooving and getting down. They are worshiping and they love it. Reading God's word is an act of worship. I pray that we all begin to love reading God's word the same way we love lifting our voices and singing praise to Him. If you want prayer, we do have pastors that will be down here after service. Please, they're available to talk to you if you have questions about how you can get more out of the word. If you have questions about how you can improve your walk with the Lord or begin walking with the Lord, our pastors are here for you. God bless you. Thank you for coming and have a nice evening.